You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Wakey's third hour. I was just posting the Zobella Vinnick, the Tucson High guidance counselor rapist, who wrote to the New Yorker magazine to say jail's no fun. Weird. I couldn't make that. I was just typing up a little description for the Facebook post on this, and I'm sitting there, I can't make this crap up. Okay? So remember, this is so Tucson, right?
Yes.
So what happens is Zobella Vinnick gets on the radar of everybody before the rape. She was the organizer promoter of the Tucson High drag show. That was her claim to fame before raping her student. I guess that just wasn't enough attention. So then, in a position of authority with her student, she kicks out her wife out of the house and is having has the high school student move into her house, where she then gets narked on by the wife because the wife is upset that they broke up and this woman is now raping the 16-year-old girl in the house. So then she gets off with a light sentence of a year.
16 or 15?
15 or one of those. Both suck, right? Then, and the other thing is that when you see rape cases for positions of authority, they're usually hit with even harder. I think it's even in the statute, I believe. Right?
Correct.
All right. Conover lets her off light because it's for the good of the victim.
Still don't understand that.
Right? Back to Judge Smales.
Not so good for the next victim, though.
Of course. Right? It reminded me of Judge Smales. I gave the boy the death penalty because I thought he deserved, I know he appreciated it, whatever he said, that great line from Judge Smales and Caddyshack. So then Zobella Vinnick gets off with a light sentence. Then we find out that her dad's Brink Media made somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 working on Laura Conover's campaign, which the local media totally glossed over and ignored, right? Then, after all of this, we find out that Zobella the rapist is writing to the New Yorker magazine saying she's in the hole. So we're reading the New Yorker magazine in the jail, which is great, okay? And she doesn't like being in jail.
Who knew?
In shock. I couldn't make any of that up, from drag show to rapist to her wife to her dad working on Conover's campaign, the attorney that gave her the light gave her the light plea deal. Get the hell out of here. So we're gonna see what did Robert got for me here today. So the question becomes that some of these supposed journalists going the way of Bill Maher, have they finally had the epiphany, or do they see the political wind shifting and looking out for their financial future and employment? I think he's referring to Jennings, Scott Jennings, who we played at CNN. If you see Scott, as he's worked in the Republican world, so don't get me wrong, there's always profit motive, but it's kind of where we're at. I don't know if we'll play it today. Maybe we'll handle it for tomorrow. It's the DNC's Women Caucus attempting to sing the national anthem. Only two of them know the words or will actually sing the national anthem when they were supposed to. It's pretty good. Let's do this, Matt. Let's go to break a little early. And I'm going to get to Bishop Clouseau, Weisenberger, and a bunch of you have sent this to me. This is responding to false claims about Catholic organizations serving newcomers. And it contains...
Newcomers?
What?
Newcomers? That's the...
Yes. Clara, after he's already gaslit you with... He's already gaslit you with newcomers. He's now going to provide you with clarifying insights. And when you hear clarifying insights coming from most Catholic bishops, trust me, they are not clarifying. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Here we go. The mean streets. Here we go. We're trying, Sammy. We're trying. So a bunch of you sent me this over the last, let's see, when did he release this? It was July 31st. This is from the Bishop of Tucson. And they're doing a good job over there. They're bleeding parishioners left and right in the Catholic Church. And but let's get to this. This is responding to false claims about serving newcomers. Why would you start a story, a statement about false claims with a false claim? Here we go. Claims regarding the criminal activity. This should be fascinating. Let's see. Catholic organizations cooperate providing humanitarian aid with local, state, federal officials. This includes working with law enforcement to identify and counter criminal activity. Okay. Not that we've seen one story about the Catholic Church somehow helped bust some sort of human trafficking thing when it comes to immigrants. Catholic doctrine distinguishes between persons and their actions. Each person, whether native born or immigrant, documented or undocumented, is imbued with God. Yes, we agree with all that. Thank you. At the same time, the church wants to alleviate the root causes of forced migration, such as war, persecution, and poverty, so that people can remain in their homelands. Now, the one thing that the good bishop is not telling you, he doesn't get paid by the feds if you do anything outside of the borders of the United States. You know, Ed, you could do so much better than this. But we'll keep going. I can't go through the whole thing. It's just ridiculous. What the bishop doesn't understand that he is on the vent. He's on the flow chart for the cartels. Right? He is part of the service of the delivery of what the cartels get paid for. This is what the good bishop is either ignorant of or lying to your face. The cartels are charging money, slavery, or sex to get to America. And part of the package for your payment of slavery, sex, or money is you will be delivered into the hands of Pima County and the Catholic Church that will then blow you out with literally and when they say they're legally processed, they have no idea who these people are. They're not doing real background checks on these people. Yeah, it's insane. So that's the other part again, the Diocese of Tucson and Catholic Community Services, this is about the money. Because the Catholic Church can't survive on its own money anymore. That's where we're getting down to. Unaccompanied migrant children among the populations that can only be served as a part of formal program established by the federal government. Why are they unaccompanied, good bishop? Tell me why. Yes, I know you're going to tell me they're all orphans. No, they're pawns in a game because the cartel knows how to. If you have a child and you fake it with another person, all of a sudden you get greenlit across the border. This guy's so full of crap. Holy cow. claims regarding financial enrichment, self-interest, and political motives. The other part of that this is that the Catholic Church is throwing the rest of their own parishioners and the rest of us in the toilet by blowing through too many people where services, there's not enough services and infrastructure for all these people. Just want to let everyone know that. Accusations that the church is betraying the United States and violating its tax exemption and seeking new members through ministries is nothing new. No, well, that's, he calls it anti-Catholic bias. I'm a Catholic. Do I have anti-Catholic bias, or do you think you guys are desperate for money and you're desperate for being meaningful again? So the Lord said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. The moment you take all of this money from the Fed, any of the money, you now become subject to the federal government's guidelines, not God's guidelines. So if the Catholic Church wanted to provide help for illegal immigrants getting blown through by the Biden administration on their own dime, fine. Now, when you say, oh, seeking new members, hell yeah, you're seeking new members. Has anyone gone to a Catholic church lately? In the Diocese of Tucson, mostly? A lot of older folks. Unless you're in some of the Southside parishes. I mean, I'm still one of the youngest people at St. Odelia's. And I know I ain't no spring chicken. I'm not bad, but I ain't no spring chicken. Assisting newcomers is part of the corporal works of mercy. Now, what you're saying is you're ignoring the law. When the Biden administration says they're illegally, that's not the law. And all of the Catholics who did it right are being ignored by the Diocese of Tucson. Just ignoring them. Since 2019, the federal government is providing funding to support humanitarian aid efforts offered by nonprofit organizations, giving increased needs along the U.S.-Mexican border. Some Catholic organizations have applied just as well as some others. They do not profit from this type of funding. They can only be used for prescribed purposes. You know what the good bishop has to release that we know they're not making money on it? Can I please see the administrative costs? Because that's where the scrape is. The scrapes and the administrative costs. So I remember watching Mark Napier when he was the sheriff of Pima. I told the story. I think it was a Senate committee hearing about the border. And next to him, I believe, was the bishop who's in charge of El Paso, Texas. And they were both telling two different stories of reality. I was talking to Brad Hahn from Solidarity Healthcare, he's an actual Catholic canon lawyer. And we were having a discussion one day. I said, hey, Brad, what am I missing here? And when I said, why isn't the Catholic Church delivering those services just on the other side of the border? Right? Oh, and remember, all these people are also, when you say asylum seekers, that's also false. Asylum is only to a non-warring country that's adjacent to your country. The Catholic Church is just ignoring the law because Joe Biden told them. The first Catholic president who would like abortion on demand. And what Brad told me is the Catholic Church doesn't get paid if they deliver services on the other side of the border. Because what they should be doing is working with the diocese of Sonora, Nogales, I don't know how they break it down down there, and they should have big tents and help these people, and then when they go properly across the border, have a nice day. You should be delivering the treatment and help to these people on the other side of the border, not here. It's a joke. You've become a cog of the cartels and the Democrat Party, Bishop Wiesenberger. So in the end, even though you say it's not political, it's political. So let's go through the bishop's statements. This is his official statements on his website. Here we go. Just from the beginning of the year, what does he really want you to talk about? Okay. Ceasefire in Gaza. Okay. I wonder if he did anything about October 7th. Let's see.
I'm a broken record. They had a ceasefire. Hamas violated the ended the ceasefire. They had a ceasefire and a plan to get the hostages back. And Hamas chose to end the ceasefire.
Let's do this. When we come back, we're going to go through Bishop Wiesenberger's statements here, his public statements. And let's see what his own website tells us about what's important for him and how he's selling most of his parishioners down the toilet. You're on Wake Up Tucson. I know, they'll just excommunicate me again. Big whoop. Me and Jesus are just fine without Bishop Wiesenberger, trust me. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. I think the other thing that my problem with the Catholic Church with this border thing is they just don't talk about the misery that comes along with the border. I had this with my friend, one of my priest friends up in the northwest side of town. You guys never, so when you even do like prayers of the faithful, could you pray for the children who are getting sold into sex slavery during this border thing? You want my free winter coat to give them warmth, but can we remember the, you know, there's sex slaves, there's rape insurance, right? All of these horrible things that go along with the border, and the church doesn't want to do that because if you did that, that would hurt donations. You can't talk about child sex slavery in a Catholic church. You would harsh the groove. The narrow gate, jackasses, not the wide gate. Why do I have to theologize you guys on how to do this right? Read a damn book, for God's sake, some of you people. I don't talk about church leadership. But the idea that you won't talk about, you won't even pray for them. I mean, we're always praying about wars and other things in other countries, which is fine. How about right in the streets of Tucson? Where are you? I mean, we're at ground zero of the fentanyl problem destroying this country. Let's hold up, Bill. I'll get to you in a second. I'm going to give you what came out of the public statements of Bishop Wiesenberger. Okay. Well, thank goodness on Groundhog Day, he did do, please do not sign the pro-abortion signature. Good. Let's see how many times this gets repeated. Okay. Senate border deal criticized by bishops. I should have brought my little check mark on how many times I just want to talk about the border. Teens at a retreat. Great. Caring for migrants is the moral imperative of our faith. Then there's an environmental one. Then Bishop Wiesenberger on immigration funding. You notice he keeps talking about the money. We're not making any money on it, but we're talking about the money. The bishops of the Arizona Catholic Conference statement on veto of SB 1231, which was something to try to bring a little normalcy to the border thing through the state of Arizona. I'm sure he loved it. At least we had a nationwide invitation to end abortion. Nice. There we go. We got two abortions there. Arizona governor rejects bill making a state crime to cross the international border. Again, border money. Bishop Wiesenberger celebrates mass at Casa Salitas. I gotta tell you something. If Bishop Wiesenberger had any credibility, you'd be saying mass like in Pliskin Acres on the street. I'd do it in the parking lot of Francis Cabrini near Ed's house. That's what I would do. You want to be brave? Let's go. Then there's the current situation in the Holy Land, which of course he does do a call for peace in the previous October. Bishop honored for environmental justice advocacy, giving himself some love. Do you get what it means to be a servant of Christ? This is not your LinkedIn account looking for a new job, bro. Then we have their statement on the Supreme Court abortion opinion. We got that. Then of course he's taking pictures of him in the White House. Let's see. Then he talks about the rising threat of political and ideological violence. He talks about the Trump shooting. And then responding to false claims about Catholic organizations serving newcomers. So here's the thing. You should be all over the abortion thing right now, not February 2nd. Where are you, Catholic Church? I don't even see anything in the bulletin, for God's sakes, let alone a public statement about the abortion proposition. And how about pro-abortion elected officials? The reason why you guys don't bang on Joe Biden and Raheena Romero and all these people and Raul Grijalva about abortion is the money. You're selling the souls of those children out for the dough. And where are you on the misery in Tucson? This is the thing about him and newcomers. Why are there so many illegal aliens coming? Because the border's wide open. And because there's no orderly amount, anything going on at the border, anyone working border patrol has been ordered to go lightly process millions of these illegal immigrants instead of stopping fentanyl, meth, and all these other things coming in and ruining families' lives. So, hey, Bishop Wiesenberger, do you have the same Lincoln Navigator with the blinders on that Raheena drives around about? You're lost, bro. You are lost. You're another politician, is what you are. And the idea that you ignore what's going on in your own streets is disgusting. Bill, good morning. Put a cherry on top of this crap Sunday for me.
Well, before I get started, Chris, if you have your dinger, give yourself a couple of dings for your last comments.
But Matt, I'm not Bishop Wiesenberger. I don't ding myself, so Matt's going to have to ding me. Thank you.
Good, Matt. Way to go. I know this is probably going to shock you, Chris.
I'm sitting on the floor so I don't fall.
Oh, good. So you can't hurt yourself. We've had some of this conversation in years past.
Sure.
The fact that this is not the Catholic Church, but especially the Diocese of Tucson's first rodeo with nefarious things.
Sure. Okay?
I mean, I could go back and back and back, but I'll just reiterate a couple of them here. One, Tucson was one of the few places in America that was used for a dumping ground for pedophile priests. And isn't that special? Then, above and beyond that, as we go forward, I want to use a different word, but I can't. I'm going to say they blew $20 million on paying lawyers and children that were molested by priests around here. So basically, parishioners that donated or gave money upon their death or whatever, or even when they're alive, to the Catholic Church, it was squandered and wasted, 20 million of it at least, maybe more, and the lawyers got most of it. If these people that are in their graves would probably be rolling over in their graves with the way that money was wasted.
Yep.
Yeah, terrible, terrible situation. They also thought they were going to be another, I guess, Jimmy Swaggart kind of a thing. They created a TV. They had a TV station.
They bought the TV station, I remember.
Yeah. And it went broke, and I can't remember how much they lost on that. It might have been $12 million or something. I don't remember the numbers. But they wonder why they don't have the money to do what they want to do, okay?
Right.
It's because their parishioners keep getting stepped on and then leave, and they go away. I haven't been in a Catholic church in 25 years.
Well,
and you know some of the reasons, but
sure.
So here's what I'm getting at too. If they would just get back to their basics of saving souls for Christ,
yeah,
they would be on the good side of things. They, I mean, I'm making a joke right now. Whatever happened to this comment about separation of church and state? Well, that's only used when it's to their advantage. Okay. if they go and get in bed with the government, which they have, it's almost akin to the mafia. You're not going to get out alive. Of course, nobody's going to get out alive, but you've basically tarnished yourself. Why would the church want to hitch their wagon to a money thing in the government that is just bad? I mean, think about that.
Because they forgot their mission.
Yeah, they did.
Right. Uh-huh. And so the mission is to bring, you know, more souls to Christ and preach the gospel, right?
And that's pretty simple when you think about it.
It's basically simple. What they've done is the idea that they want to build structures and bureaucracies and feel important.
Kind of a babble.
Right. I mean, that's everything they've ever fought against, right? Things you talk about, all of these things that Christ fought against, they've become.
You know, if they would ever hold service down there where you said, what was the street you wanted them to hold a Sunday service?
First and Fort Lowell.
I'd probably show up to the Catholic service at that point in time. Why don't you, somebody send a memo to whoever's in charge and see if they can get that organized. You'd be amazed how many people show up. They'd probably have to stop the streets.
You know what it is, Bill? So, there's always that thing in, they always talk about, like when there's the Catholic churches in China, right? And there's that thing that to have them, the government chooses who the bishops are going to be, and this whole thing that the government has all of this control on
there now,
right?
So it's
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is where we're at here, right? They say, you can't choose our bishops, but we're going to take all this money from you, which we're going to have to follow the federal government. So I just looked it up right now, just to give you. According to Philanthropy Roundtable, 2/3 of Catholic Charities' annual spending comes from government sources.
I'm shocked.
Two-thirds.
Really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, the thing is, now we're going down a different rabbit hole for a quick second here.
Yes.
The reason government is so large and so embedded into everybody's situations and society and city government and all that stuff is because they started taking money from government.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you take money from some place, you're obligated to those people to do something. And so it just feeds on itself. It gets bigger and bigger. The things you have to do become dirtier and dirtier, and there's no way out.
So
I think there was a good movie called that.
So think about this right now. We have this abortion proposition coming up on the ballot. It's going to make it literally an Arizona constitutional right to abortion that someone that's termed a health professional, not a doctor, will determine whether or not this soul will be obliterated, and it's up to basically 9 months. All right? I mean, this is infanticide at its best, and this guy sends out 4,000 words on newcomers.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's amazing about that word newcomer, how many different iterations of illegal immigrants have they used? We had newcomers, undocumented somebody's immigrants.
Legally processed asylum seekers.
I mean, they are just bending over backwards and jumping through hoops to keep constantly changing this because they work on the how can we fool them today plan. And that's just it.
My last thing here is I can't wait for Romero, Conover, and Adelita Grijalva to call people ripping off small businesses aggressive newcomers.
Ding, ding, ding.
Or misunderstood misunderstood newcomers.
Yeah, well, it's fanciful. How's that grab you? Okay.
Bill, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bye.
All right, we're going to go to break, and we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to do, let's see what we got here. Tomorrow, tomorrow at the baseball stadium is Journey and Def Leppard. So tomorrow will be Journey v. Def Leppard tomorrow. And then Rocco for Food Friday, and then Rocco's top 10 movies of all time coming up tomorrow. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Oh, man. I got this thing from Higdog. It's one of the greatest graphs I ever saw on the failure of failure of public schools, K through 12 public schools, and we'll go deeper on it tomorrow. But it's so amazing. So there's a line graph, and the blue part is a very hard increase from left to right. Basically almost like a 45 degree angle. So that is the total cost of educating a child all the way from kindergarten through 12th.
Okay.
All right. So it starts off in 1970 about $55,000.
Okay.
Then in where we're at now in the, this probably ends in the teens of the of 2017-ish or so, this graph, it's up to $165,000. Okay. Now, you'll see on the bottom that there's these unbelievably flat lines, and some of them go down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That is reading, math, and science scores.
Yeah. No change.
Just
no change.
They sucked in the 70s, and they suck now.
Right. I loved Frank Antonori's line during the budget crisis when everybody was bemoaning, you know, that we're not spending, well, they're still bemoaning that we're not spending enough on education, which the correct amount is $1 more than any amount you could ever come up with.
Right.
But Frank always said about the education industry as an industry, it's the only kind of industry or economic sector that there's no expectation of efficiency as time goes on.
Right.
That there's zero expectations that things get more efficient or productivity goes up or anything.
Or
results.
It's also something where just because you are a teacher and you have volunteered your life to teach the children, that it's impossible that you suck. Right?
Right.
And it's just like any other profession. There's good ones, okay ones, and there's crappy ones.
And we all remember the good ones, and we all remember the ones that were ineffective.
Yep. And the crappy ones, their cover is, well, I'm a teacher. I like one of my favorite lines from like Norm MacDonald about teachers like that. When someone was going after him heckling, he goes, you have the same vacations as children. Or I forgot how I got to figure out how Norm said it. It'll come back. I'll have to find it. It was clean. We could probably play it. Remember on September 7th, I should have done this, Austin Vanderhaten and I, 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday. I promise I'll shower up after pickleball.
Thank you.
We'll be at the Gaslight Theater up in Oral Valley, and we're going to run through all 11 or so ballot propositions. And he is going to bring a guide from the Goldwater Institute, and hopefully you'll be a little bit more prepared for the craziness of the ballot propositions. And I should start going through those a little bit myself. Tomorrow we're going to go through this education thing the Hig Dog sent me, and then also a fun one that Brushfire sent me was off of Zero Edge, is kind of the breakdown of how people are listening to music nowadays. And then, you know, when I was looking at Matt, the when it came to purchased music of CD or vinyl,
sure,
as we like to say, I wasn't sure where that number was going to be, right? But it's 9% now of music listened to by Americans.
Yeah.
Is through CDs, vinyl, DVDs, or digital downloads.
I'd be surprised, especially with CDs, that it was even that high.
Yeah, it was. Part of me thought it'd be higher because we keep hearing about the explosion of vinyl again.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Right? I thought it'd be I thought it'd be better than single digits, as we say. But it's not. Well, what did we learn today?
What did we learn today?
Let me go to camera four here.
Cue camera four.
Matt, scroll me down on your notes here.
Sure, sure.
This will help me here a little
bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, Tim Walz. And the greatest soundbite from the DNC ever, which is do you have that handy?
I might.
The 7 seconds of this?
I may have it handy.
This is so good.
I may not. Hang on a second.
There it is. Here we go.
You always get on me about my tabs, but
this is about the. This is from the Black Caucus yesterday at the DNC.
You got even Helen arrested.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. We do it.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
Now it's not. Hang on.
It started off good. I heard that.
Okay.
Play it.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now, after 7 days, we can go back to getting crazy. Right?
God bless that man. God bless that man. Great conversation with coffee maniac David Schweikert. We also played some Scott Jennings off of CNN, which was good too. But David Schweikert, when I asked him, I made him go, oof, ugh.
That's always
twice.
A good reaction.
Right? One was Pima County GOP is still doing Trump caravans instead of knocking on doors.
Say I can't believe it without saying I can't believe it.
And then the other one was the Commerce Secretary, when she heard about from ABC News, the woman's like, what about those million jobs? She's like, oh, Donald Trump's a liar. She's like, it's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. She's like, I never heard of that.
Now, maybe today we had the most interesting letter to the editor, certainly in the last several years.
Yep, Tucson High convicted. Well, she wasn't. She was convicted. Rapist Zabella Vinnick writing to the New Yorker about jail's not so fun. Don't
Amazing.
Rape. As we like to say, don't rape people repeatedly. Then Chris versus the Catholic Church in the third hour. As I think they say in the movies, Bishop Wiesenberger, come at me, bruh. Come at me. Tom Moulton coming up next. Jump in Tucson, Chris Dodge, Tucson Jazz Festival with a freeform jazz odyssey.